Hey, everybody, welcome back to LettermanRow.com. I am Jeremy Birmingham. This is Talking Stuff, the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast, brought to you by Byers Automotive. If you're looking for an auto, go to ByersAuto.com. Check out what they've got for you. Anything you're looking for in Central Ohio, Byers Automotive's got you covered. We've got you covered on this episode of Talking Stuff. It is another list version of the show today. Myself, Andrew Ellis, and Zach Carpenter are going to break down the top targets in the class of 2023 for Ohio State as we see them. May not always be that we agree. Maybe you don't. Who knows? Let's just get to it. Andrew and Zach, thanks for taking time to join us on the list. We're talking stuff about Ohio State football recruiting. A few weeks ago, guys, we did the class of 2022, the top nine players as we see it that were still remaining on the board for the Buckeyes in that class. Today, for the first time, we're opening up the full complement of 2023 options. There's only been one player on the list. Our other show on YouTube here that has been in the class of 2023. That was Sonny Styles. Let's just, spoiler alert, we all have Sonny Styles as number one on our list, right?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. We could probably just knock that out of the park right now and just get to it.
So let's just talk Sonny Styles first, because this is obviously the most important recruit in the class of 2023. And I drew a little bit of ire from people on the message board the other day when I said that I thought it could be arguably the most important in-state recruit in the last 20 years for Ohio State. Am I crazy for saying that? Or do either of you agree or am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, the way the Ohio State linebacker room has looked this season, especially early on, that has not been great. They've only got one in the fold right now for 2022. Depending on how you view Gabe Powers, I guess you could say two. That's what goes into all of us having him number one on our list. So you're not wrong by any means.
I mean, you're absolutely crazy, but it has nothing to do with Sonny Styles and your praise of him. I mean, you just got to start listening to people on message boards, Berm.
Well, I don't think I want to start. I want to start listening to people on the Letterman Lounge more often, because I feel like, you know, their input is important. But here's the reason I say that. Number one, he's an Ohio State legacy. Okay. I mean, that's obvious. His dad played at Ohio State. Number two, he's an Ohio State legacy who's grown up his entire life 20 minutes from the Ohio State campus. You simply can't lose that player at 6'4", 225 pounds by the time he gets to campus. The athleticism he has to play the one high safety, to play in a bullet role, to play linebacker. He can play defensive end. He could play tight end, wide receiver. He is such a unique athlete. And I know that people bring up players like Paris Johnson or Jack Sawyer, who are clear-cut five-star, you know, talents who were early commitments to Ohio State. And those guys were obviously very important, but there was never a single moment of doubt where those guys were going to go to school. And from every single perspective, Sonny Styles is a perfect fit for what Ohio State wants to do defensively, what they are culturally, and what it means for people in the state of Ohio to be a Buckeye. So the idea that you could potentially lose that player to Notre Dame because his brother goes to school there, I think puts such a spotlight and a white hot spotlight on that recruit.
And there's going to be a lot of panic over the next couple months when he makes numerous trips to South Bend to see his brother. So we know that's coming, but I think some people are putting a little bit too much into his brother being there and how that's going to impact things. This is just an entirely different situation than what Lorenzo had. So, yeah.
Still think that's still a thing though, his brother being there. I mean, I still think it's a factor, maybe not the end all be all. I mean, speaking of Sonny, I know he's 6'4", 215, whatever way he's at now. And I was thinking about this when I was making the list, because I just did the film story on Xavier Wampa, and I was taking a look at Kyle Hamilton, Ronnie Hickman, and Dane Belton. And Sonny kind of reminds me a little bit of that Kyle Hamilton, that he could play that type of role. Am I crazy, Berm? Am I crazy?
No, I mean, he's a very unique athlete. He's also, I mean, he's the type of player that if he went into the weight program at a place like Ohio State, could end up at 245, 250 pounds and be Baron Browning or Malik Harrison type at linebacker, that super freaky, edge rusher. He could be a 255-pound defensive end and be a Von Miller type. I mean, he has a lot of different skill sets that he's developing, and I think that that's where Ohio State really made hay with him this past summer at their one-day camps, because they let him come into camp and say, hey, who do you want to learn from today? And that's a cool opportunity. And I think that just underscores the importance for him and why he's number one on our list. We could talk about Sonny Styles for a long time. We have talked about Sonny Styles for a long time, months already, with months ahead of us to continue to do so. So I don't want to spend all of our time there. Sonny Styles is number one. We could end the show there, but that'd be silly. We're going to go back down to the number nine spot on our list. And Andrew, we'll get started with you. And I'd like to hear your rationale for your first pick, because Zach and I each have the same guy at number nine.
Yeah. So number nine on my list is Peyton Kirkland, offensive lineman out of the state of Florida. It's just offensive line is so weird right now because they're still working on a few pieces for the current class. And then, you know, you got a guy down in Florida who's made – he was on campus this summer. You know, the entire SEC is after him. I don't think the offensive line board has fully come together yet, but I definitely think Peyton Kirkland is on that mini board per se. So he's number nine on my list right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree that he belongs on the list. He did not make mine. If this was a 10-person list, I think he would have. He's a Midwest kid originally, big-bodied, 6'7", 320-pounder. I think that obviously that pure tackle frame is very important in that class, because the Buckeyes are clearly not going to sign another one of those pure tackles in 2022, I don't think, unless something magically happens with, Emil Wagner. Zach and I, we each have the same guy at number nine. Zach, I'll let you explain why we have Carnell Tate, the wide receiver from IMG there.
Well, I have no idea why you have him there, but I have him there because he's still important enough to be included on the list. I mean, we talk about Ohio State's loaded receivers room and in the 21 and 22 classes, but you still have to bring in that talent, at least in the following class, at least one of those guys. I think the number is what, two receivers there?
Probably.
This could be a small receivers class of 23. And him and Zachariah Branch are the main two guys, I think, on the board, just completely different skill sets and types of receivers. But just the I think it's a perception thing too, of if Ohio State wins this, they're able to continue battling against that too many receivers argument. They're able to kind of squash this little building Ohio State versus Notre Dame recruiting rivalry a little bit. I mean, it's just one recruitment, but
yeah, we'll talk about a handful of them on this show, so it does matter.
And then you're able to crack IMG. Ohio State's had some trouble, especially in the with J.C. Latham and guys like Jahad Campbell. Just to name a couple guys off the bat that they've had down there. I don't know if that's one, a couple of the reasons maybe that you had him on the list too.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, it's clear Ryan Hartline has prioritized him for the last few months, even probably ahead of someone like Brandon Ennis, who most people have as the number one ranked receiver in the country. I know Brian Hartline likes Brandon Ennis as a player, and I think that they're building a relationship still, but I think that it's clear Carnell Tate, again, a Midwest guy originally from Chicago. That sort of Midwest mentality, I think, resonates at Ohio State. I was back and forth between Carnell and Zachariah Branch here, and I thought about putting Branch in because of the potential that he brings on special teams and a kick and slash punt returner and his 10-3 speed. But I went with Carnell Tate because as you look at the Ohio State roster with Jackson Smith and Jigba, Julian Fleming, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, a lot of these guys, even Marvin Harrison could potentially be and Emeka Buka could be on their final year at Ohio State by the time Carnell Tate steps onto campus. I think they need that bigger bodied outside guy that they've really sort of become the bread and butter of the Ohio State offense at wide receiver. So that's why I went with him. So number eight, Zach, we have three different choices for number eight. So that's always good. I like that because it means we're thinking, boys and girls, we're out here thinking. Andrew, you went defensive end here and you had two defensive ends on your list. I'm interested eventually to hear why you have them in the places that they do, but go ahead with your number eight.
Yeah, number eight on my list is Mateo Uiagalelei out of California, the powerhouse John Bosco program. I mean, defensive end is going to be a need again. We saw them load up in 21 with Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau. We'll see what the 22 class ends up looking like at the position. We don't have a real good picture of that right now. Larry Johnson doesn't have a single commitment yet. But Mateo's been on campus already. It doesn't seem like he's going to follow in his brother's footsteps from what we've been kind of hearing. So that's why I got him on my list at number 8.
Yeah, I know, Zach, you have Mateo on your list up a little bit higher. So we'll talk about that a little bit as you get there. I do not have him on my list because I think that Ohio State is going to do fine at 2022 defensive end, defensive line recruiting. And while they're going to need one or two in that class of 2023, I wouldn't have it as priority one or priority 1 through 9 on that list just yet. But Zach, you're number 8.
Yeah, I flip-flopped back and forth. I had Caleb Downs as my number 8. And I had him a little higher. I think I have him number 5, number 6 on my original list. And I just kept thinking about it. They do have their safety numbers. I don't know if they're in that dire need for a safety like him in the 23 class with what they have with Kai Stokes and the optimism that I still have that they're going to land Zion Branch in the 2022 class and Xavier Wampa, even though I know they play, I think Caleb Downs more of a traditional deep safety, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, you see how important that is in Ohio State's defense to have a reliable guy back there. I mean, Josh Proctor was coming into his own as a playmaker in the back end of that defense. And once he's been out, Bryson Shaw struggled. And then you're seeing Lathan Ransom have to go back there, which is a good thing because it opens up Cam Martinez to be in the slot. But
all those guys could be gone by the time that these kids get on campus. And that's why it's so – I think you have to have a safety on this list. And that's the way I see it.
And then going back to I know that Ohio State's defense, they're switching up schemes with Matt Barnes at the helm. I still think Ryan Day ideally wants to have that cover one, cover three be their main look. And if you have a guy like Caleb Downs, we saw how effective Jordan Fuller could be as sort of that eraser. If you have a guy like a five-star talent, number one ranked safety in the nation, talent like Caleb Downs, I think you're able to go back to that base defense a little more that Day wants to implement. I don't know what you think. I can't even remember if you had Downs on your
I guess you're gonna find out. He's not number 8 on my list because Caden Proctor, the five-star talent from Iowa, the offensive tackle, is my first offensive lineman on this list at number 8. Again, I think that this is a situation where Ohio State is the big dog of the Midwest, and I think you need to be able to beat teams like Iowa for the players in their state. And that's not a knock on Iowa. It's a great program. They're clearly, ranked ahead of Ohio State right now in national rankings, but historically and in, modern times as well, the Buckeyes are the program that everyone is aiming for. I think to hold off teams like that, you need to be able to win those battles. Caden Proctor has that big body, 6'7", 6'8", 320-pound tackle body, moves extremely well. Plays super aggressive, just a big, nasty road grader. And I that's the type of offensive lineman that I want. If I was putting a team together and the relationship between him and Xavier Wampa, I think is very important. I think it's just another one of those guys that Ohio State has done a good job with so far. But I think Ryan Day is going to have to drive that boat a little bit over the next 2 years to make sure that Caden Proctor understands that Ryan Day is the guy recruiting him, because that's where the relationships really take off for the Buckeyes. The Ohio State offensive line continues to develop NFL players, but there still seems to be a bit of a disconnect between some of these kids and Greg Studrara, and that's going to have to be figured out one way or another. Number 7, you guys both have the same player, so go ahead. Whoever wants it, fight to the death for it. I don't care.
Andrew, you take it. You take first.
Squid Game. Okay.
Number 7 on my list is Tampa, Florida linebacker Troy Bowles. Again, just linebackers a big – we talked about this with Sonny Styles. Linebacker is going to be a big need in 2023. Probably going to take like 3 at the position. He's made trip to Columbus. I think he was at Rutgers last week to kind of check out probably Ohio State more so than Rutgers.
His brother's a walk-on there at Rutgers, so it does help.
And Rutgers made his top 16, Andrew. Come
that's
on.
True.
What are you doing?
How did I forget that? But I mean, I don't know. Right now, it seems like Ohio State's the clear leader. I really don't even know who's like his second and third on his list right now. But he's number 7 on my list.
Zach, anything to add?
Yeah, I have nothing to add. We talked about the 2022 linebacker stuff last week for like like 10, 15 minutes about how it seems like they're going more shifting to the 2023 class for that focus. So I think that's why he absolutely needs to be on the list. So how much to add?
I do have Caleb Downs on my list at safety, and he is number 7 on my list. And I think, Zach, you hit the nail on the head. To me, Caleb Downs, the combination of athleticism and acumen, the football brains that he has, his brother's at North Carolina, his dad played in the NFL. This is a kid who's a super smart football IQ type safety, and he's a dynamic player. I also think it's always good for Ohio State to win recruiting battles in Georgia. I've heard that this one might come down to Ohio State and Alabama more so than with the Bulldogs, but the way that Georgia's recruiting right now, obviously they're going to be involved. So it's just one of those battles with the biggest of the big in the country. Matt Barnes has done a great job for Ohio State. He's got a very good relationship with Jordan Hancock. The more that Hancock develops at Ohio State, the better opportunity that opens the door for the Buckeyes. So Caleb Downs to me is number 7 on my list. Number 6, Andrew, you've got Carnell Tate, who we had at number 9. Why do you have him so much higher?
I mean, you guys said a lot of it earlier, but I got him a little bit higher just because he's clearly Brian Hartline's number 1 guy right now. A lot of the guys they have out there right now are going to be gone by the time he gets on campus. Going up against Notre Dame, don't like losing recruiting battles to Notre Dame. So, that's why he's number 6 on my list.
Zach, you have Caden Proctor, who I just talked about a little bit at my number 8. You got him at 6. You went to see him in Iowa 2 weeks ago. You got a pretty good sense of what he can do as a player. Why is he number 6 for you?
You said it a second ago. He's a 6'8", 335-pound physical freak who is as athletic as they come. I mean, he looks – I think I've said this like 20 times, but he looks every bit the part of a 5-star prospect physically.
He's a dancing grizzly bear.
Yeah. I wish I would have come up with that. All right. I'm write that one down. Yeah. He could be a future top 10, top 15 pick, if everything goes right. I think offensive tackle, yes, you have George Fitzpatrick in the 2022 class. But it looks like they're probably gonna miss on some of their high caliber targets. Let's say the bingo card name, Keontae Goodwin, just for Andrew's sake. I think that makes offensive tackle that much more important in this class. And he is he is deserving of that 5-star billing. So, Notre Dame, Alabama. If you beat those guys out for in Iowa, if you beat them out for Caden Proctor, just makes it even more important, more crucial.
Yep. And as we're talking about Notre Dame, my number 6 on the board is Luke Montgomery, the Findlay, Ohio offensive lineman. Luke is so interesting to me because it seems like Notre Dame continues to push for him as a 3-tech defensive tackle. I've seen him play a couple times. He's playing basically all 5 spots along the offensive line for Findlay, barely playing any sort of defensive line. Played center. One time I went and saw him a few weeks ago, his first game ever playing center. He started practicing there a day beforehand. Was really good. I think that actually may be his future position in college is at center. I think that he's the type of player, football intelligence-wise, athletic. He's a guy that you can really build an offensive line around. And I think the most important thing with Luke and why he's on my list here, and obviously in state, but he is a Pied Piper, man. Kids love Luke Montgomery. He knows everyone. And again, I just don't think you can lose that battle for a kid in the state of Ohio to Notre Dame or Michigan or Penn State and those teams. And Georgia's involved here too as an outsider. They're one of the ones that you've got to look at. But, he's got a younger brother who's going to be a pretty talented quarterback prospect playing and starting at Findlay. So, there's a lot of reasons why, but, the relationships he has with Kevin Wilson, his dad knows Kevin Wilson very well. There's a lot of reasons that Luke Montgomery needs to end up at Ohio State. That's why he is absolutely on the list for me. Zach, you have a number 5. So as we move into that next step up, is there anything else you want to add on Luke Montgomery before Andrew gives his number 5?
Yeah. Do you think if I nod enough while you're talking, people understand that, like, I completely agree with you, or do I need to, like, do it more vigorously?
I mean, you could do like, those little like bobblehead birds that you put on a desk and they,
the little, it drinks the water.
Yeah, maybe that. I don't know.
I mean, pretty much I'm glad that you even hit on Ryan Montgomery in the 2025 class. That's another reason I had him on there. The fact that he's a class leader. Again, another reason I had him on there. In state, if you could humor, I know you just said that he might fit at center, but if you can humor me and like, let's say that he does stick at offensive tackle, for all the things I said about why I had Caden Proctor up so high as an offensive tackle, same reasons for Luke Montgomery. I had him one spot higher because of the in-state factor and class leader and everything, a lot of stuff you know.
He's just so versatile, and the Buckeyes are building so many pieces of the offensive line with these guys that can play five positions. And that's, you know, I think a factor when you start to recruit these guys. Andrew, number five for you is another Florida defensive, a Florida player. And I think that that's part of this whole thing for you. You got three Florida guys on your list, and maybe they're all intertwined. Who's number five?
Number five on my list is defensive lineman, edge rusher, Derek LeBlanc. Multiple trips to Ohio State this summer. He was there in June, turned around, came back, and was it three? Okay.
Three times.
Wow. Okay. Even better. But he made a trip to Tuscaloosa as well. You talked about it earlier. If Ohio State finishes this 2022 class with Eni White, Kenyatta Jackson, Caden Curry, and, you know, that kind of a group, then the need at defensive end is going to be far less. But we don't really know where this 2022 class is going to go. So that's why Derek LeBlanc is number five on my list.
And you can't go wrong with that 6'6", 240 pounds, super long, super bendy. I mean, he's a kid who really understands leverage. And again, you know, he's close to Peyton Kirkland. He's close to Richard Young. He's close to a lot of these guys, and that does matter. I have A.J. Harris at number five on my list. Zach, you got a thought there on LeBlanc?
Yeah, he wasn't on my list. And like you said, Kirkland might make it if this was a 10-person list, if LeBlanc would have been my number 10. The only other extra thing to add is just we've talked about before, he could be a potential class leader down in Florida, down in the South. So in an area of the country that they really want to own in on in the 2023 class. That's just the extra little thing I wanted to add.
Sounds good. I have number five at A.J. Harris, and I know it's crazy, a five-star cornerback, number five, with the obvious needs that the Buckeyes are going to have. And I think that need actually grows now because of the blossoming that's happening with Denzel Burke. And so now all of a sudden you should almost expect that he's a three-year guy at Ohio State. So now the need in that class might change. The Buckeyes have made it very clear to A.J. Harris for the last 5 months that he is priority one for them at cornerback. It's different, I think, because he's in that range where he plays at a private school down there on the, Alabama, in Phoenix City, Alabama. Doesn't play against the greatest competition week in and week out. But from what I've seen out of AJ when we were out at the opening, what I've seen of him when we were at, and I saw him at the Under Armour camp in Atlanta, this kid's just a dog. Like, you need that kind of cornerback at Ohio State. It's almost like, how can I say this? It's like a kid who's Damon Arnett on the field, but Jordan Fuller off of it. And I think that that's the type of player that Ohio State needs right now. You need some of those guys that are a little bit on edge when they're on the field, and those kids that are super confident. A.J. Harris is 6'1". He's 190 pounds. He runs well. He turns his hips well. He does everything you want out of a corner. And I think the Buckeyes can win that battle. I still think that they're a team that people are not giving enough credit to in this recruitment. And so to me, if you're only going to take one or two corners in that class, he's got to be one of them. So he's number five on my list. Number four, Andrew, you had Luke Montgomery, who Zach and I have already had. Why do you have Montgomery so much higher?
A big part of it is just kind of what you guys said earlier. He's going to be that CJ Hicks type of dynamic recruiter for the class. If he doesn't go to Ohio State, I'm guessing it might be Michigan or Notre Dame or one of those schools. So that's why he's high on my list, wherever he's going to play on the offensive line. I love Caden Proctor. Like, that'd be the dream scenario. I just really don't know what Ohio State's chances truly are right there right now. So that's one of the reasons I got Luke Montgomery a little higher on my list.
And the list does, folks, take into account how realistic a player is to end up at Ohio State. So that all is, you know, a piece of this puzzle. Zach, you have Mateo Uyunglele at number four. I am terrible with those names. I'm really sorry, everyone. I'm not trying to be. You have him at number four. And I don't have him on my list, but I think he was the most impressive defensive player I saw all summer at Ohio State's camps. And so probably should be on my list from that perspective. But why do you have him at number four?
I mean, bingo. I had Sonny as the most impressive just because I've not at the camp specifically, but I've just seen him so much. So he was on campus for the workouts. I have Mateo as the second most impressive. You and I were standing side by side, and we had seen Richard Young, Treyon Webb, Christian Miller, and Shamar Stewart. They go through either Tony Alford's workouts or Larry Johnson's workouts, and they're absolutely gassed. And Mateo's going through the same exact workout that those other defensive linemen went through. And he's just like, it looked like his heart rate barely got above, like, whatever. It's like his pulse barely even was.
He wasn't even sweating, Zach. He wasn't even sweating.
Yeah. I hadn't seen that all summer. And he's just that game-wrecking defensive end. And going back to the cover one, cover three, like, schematic stuff, you had Chase Young on the 2019 defense, which is maybe the best Ohio State defense in the past decade. It's in the conversation. He's another one of those guys that is, I think, would be an absolute perfect fit for that type of pass rushing role. And he's a Larry Johnson personality. I mean, how often do we talk about that so many of the defensive ends that he recruits are so much like him, and they just seem so, alike when they were talking during that camp.
I thought that it was really just fascinating, and anecdotally, for the people who don't get the inside baseball stuff, watching Ryan Day and watching Larry Johnson watch Mateo was eye-opening. I've never seen Larry Johnson look at a player the way he did at Mateo. Like, that was like perfect clay. Like, I could build something crazy out of this. Ryan Day called over to his mom and said, hey, we're not letting him leave. So, I mean, they were like, can he get here now? Can he play for us now? That type of 6'5", 260-pound athleticism is rare. He could be a top 10 tight end if he wanted to be. That's a super freak, super freak.
And one last thing to add, because you guys were talking about defensive end numbers, what you just wrote today, the fact that we might see some super seniors, might see guys come back on Ohio State's current roster that we didn't expect to come back. So if the numbers wind up being less, like three or four in the 2022 class instead of the five that we always knew was the prime goal, I think that makes defensive end even more important in the class, whether it's Derek LeBlanc or Mateo Uiagalelei. And I have him this high for – that's another reason.
I've got Chase Besantis at number four, the offensive lineman from New Jersey. And simply put, again, I think Ohio State's going to be desperate for offensive linemen in their class of 2023, especially because right now I really do feel like the odds are they're only going to sign three in the class of 2022, and it could be only two, because they're not going to go reaching for somebody that can't play at Ohio State. So if they miss out on Ernest Green, on Cam Dewberry, on Carson Hinsman, then I don't know what they're going to do. And I think they may look for a one-year rental or something offensive line at 22 in the portal. And so I think a guy like Chase Besantis, again, he can play all five positions, and he is that New Jersey nasty. And I think the more you watch a guy like Luke Whippler, who maybe doesn't look like what you think an offensive lineman in college football needs to look like these days, but then you watch him play, and the kid is an aggressive, talented, understands leverage, great personality. He is the type of guy that Ohio State really builds their offensive lines around. And I think he's a way, way higher top of the board target for Ohio State than a lot of people give him credit for. Andrew, you got AJ Harris at number three. Why?
I mean, you guys said most of it earlier. He's probably the best corner in the country for 2023. He's a long guy. He's listed at like 6'1 or 6'2. Great kid, great family. And if he doesn't end up at Ohio State, then Ohio State's probably going to be facing him in the playoff, because it's going to be Georgia or Clemson or Bama. So number one guy on the board in the at cornerback for Ohio State, and number three on my list.
Zach, you have a Florida player, running back Richard Young. Why is he number three and not number two?
The old Richard Young. Another guy we saw at camp who was probably, in my mind, the most impressive offensive player I saw in a 23 class, maybe combined with the 2022 class who camped at Ohio State this summer. I think that's line. If they get him, that lines up to be an absolutely beautiful, perfect succession line with Travion Henderson, because you're getting Travion Henderson, who's going to be a full-blown superstar by year three. He's already a star. He's going to be a full-blown superstar. Heisman Trophy candidate, and then you have Richard Young coming in as a freshman who would be able to spell Travion Henderson, and you would have potentially the best 1-2 running back combo in the country, and 2 5-stars, two guys ranked as the number one running back in their class, and you get to save Travion for games later down the road, Penn State, Michigan, Big Ten title game, college football playoff games, kind of like we're probably going to see now, like we saw against Rutgers last week, where he didn't have to play the second half. I just think it's a perfect succession plan. And I was actually asked this summer, who do you think is more impressive, Richard Young or Travion Henderson? And Travion Henderson's, I think Travion Henderson is more complete, complete running back. But Richard Young, I mean, we were there. He does not look like a 16-year-old. He looks like a college football player already. I mean,
he's a specimen. I have Troy Bowles at number 3, way higher than you guys do. So either I'm extremely smart or I'm extremely dumb. But I think it's clear Ohio State's moving to the defensive alignment where they want one of these bullet type players, these hybrid safety linebackers. And again, I want guys in the Ohio State defense more and more. You're seeing that there's a little bit of an edge missing from some of these guys. And I beg of you, turn on Troy Bowles' tape and you will see a kid that enjoys hitting people. This is a kid who arrives with the intention of hurting folks on the football field. And I actually am a fan of that mindset for youngsters, because he does it responsibly. He's not reckless. He's not out there headhunting, but that kid brings the lumber.
Real quick, because people might ask if he's being recruited as sort of that bullet type, need to make mention that Sonny Styles isn't being recruited specifically as a bullet. He's being recruited as that. Yeah.
Sonny's a unicorn. It doesn't matter. Sonny can play wherever he wants, and those guys will be on the field at the same time without question. Troy is, again, and this is something I think Ohio State pays a lot of attention to. As the son of an NFL defensive coordinator, that is the kid who understands football. And that sort of advanced placement class that he gets every single day he talks to his dad will make him all the more ready to contribute early and often in his career at Ohio State. Andrew, you and I each have Richard Young at number 2. So technically number 1, because Sonny Styles doesn't count. Richard Young, go.
I mean, he's the best running back in the country. Ohio State got the best running back in the country for 21. They've got Dallin Hayden committed right now for 22. And I think Dallin Hayden is really good. I don't want people to just forget about him because he's not the number one player at the position in the country. But, you know, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, I know Clemson's in there now too for Richard Young. So it would just be the perfect scenario to go from Travion Henderson, Dallin Hayden, Richard Young. Perfect for Tony Alford.
Yeah, I mean, I there's not a lot more I can say about Richard Young other than to just underscore what Zach said. As far as a physical specimen goes as a high school sophomore or high school junior, like, it's pretty insane to look at Richard Young and realize that this is a kid who still has another season and a half of high school football. He's a freak with the ball in his hands. He's aggressive. And personality-wise, he's really a good fit for Ohio State. He made it to Columbus twice. He loves Tony Alford. I just think that the relationship that he has with Alford, provided that Tony Alford doesn't end up going somewhere else and, you know, upsetting this entire apple cart, I think Ohio State gets Richard Young. I think that right now, if you had to say sign somewhere today, it would be Ohio State. I don't see any reason that that should change, because the Buckeyes offense is going to continue to show off a diversity and an opportunity to really capitalize on what Richard Young does well. That kid can catch the ball. He is, I don't know if he's as explosive as Travion Henderson is, but he is a little bit different in the fact that he brings a little bit more power to the running game. That sort of compliment, as Zach said, I think is just a perfect fit for Ohio State. And again, the relationship with Tony Alford. And then you combine that with the Florida stuff, with the Derek LeBlancs, with the Peyton Kirkland, with John Walker and some of the other guys down there, there's a lot of good things about why Richard Young is at the top of my list, asterisk, Sonny Styles not included. Zach, your number one asterisk player, AJ Harris, 5-star cornerback from Glenwood School. Why?
Bunch of the reasons you guys said. I think he's that classic three and done player. I can back up the, you talked about him being a dog on the field. I mean, when we were out at the opening, he was on the same 7-on-7 team as CJ Hicks, and Xavier Wampa and Desan McCullough, and they were loving some trash talk. I mean, they were trash talking LSU quarterback commit Walker Howard just endlessly. And AJ picked off I don't remember who it was, because it wasn't Kate Klubnik, but it might have been Walker Howard, picked him off and housed it 100 yards going the other way. I mean, he is just an absolute game-breaking cornerback. And going back to this stuff I said about Mateo and this, that cover one, cover three, like that base defense that they had in 2019. I mean, you had Chase Young and Jeff Okuda. Okuda locking down one side of the field. I mean, AJ Harris would be able to lock down, that side of the field. And I mean, they only want two corners in the 23 class as of right now. So I think that puts even more emphasis to wind up landing your number one guy.
Yeah, he's extremely important to the Ohio State plans. And what you said is right. You got to have guys in that defense. If that's the scheme that Ohio State wants to run, you have to have guys that can win one-on-one battles. AJ Harris is certainly someone who can do that. Sonny Styles is someone who can do that. That's why he's all of our number ones. He can win one-on-one battles. He could probably win 4-on-1 battles. He could probably win 11-on-1 battles. I don't think there's anything Sonny Styles couldn't do.
He could run for president tomorrow and I'd vote for him.
I don't know if he's actually not eligible to become president of the United States. Zach, go back to college, learn your civics.
Never.
That's Zach Carpenter. That's Andrew Ellis. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. This has been Talking Stuff, The List 2023. Thank you for watching. Please rate, review, subscribe. Join us over on LettermanRow.com. We'll talk to you in the Letterman Lounge. See you.